guess why did you feel the need to, with this latest edition, to sort of update what you think the situation in Mexico is like 20 years later?
Well, the Mexico of that I wrote about in the book, it actually went through two editions. It describes the old order of things, Mexico under the PRI. So in that sense, the book was out of date, because how drug trafficking operated under the PRI is completely different than how it works today in the New Mexico under the democratically transformed Mexico. So the third edition, it's the same story. The body of the story is exactly the same, but it has a new introduction which tells about how the book came about, and then the epilogue, it brings it up to date, essentially, fast forwards into the present. The old story provides the context for understanding how what's happening today in Mexico, because it has a history to it. It just didn't all of a sudden happen. I mean, it's got a reason for it, and the book, as it was originally written, shows the reason for it. The old order of things in Mexico, the governmental system was a functioning mafia, and it controlled and regulated drug trafficking for the benefit of people in power. They made huge amounts of profit. A lot of people, not everybody, of course, in the old pre-system, were involved in that, but it was a tendency of the system, and it gave a lot of space to organized crime to flourish because there was so much money in it. But that has largely changed in that the new order of things, it's a real democratic system, and there's been a decoupling of the highest levels of power from drug trafficking now. And it's important for people to understand that, so I had to bring the book up to date.
Okay. One of the strongest arguments that you make at the end of this book is the legalization argument. Some people would say it's too simple to make that argument and that things would just miraculously go away. So why do you think that might be the best route to take to as a possible solution to the problem?
Well, the profits from drug sales are so immense that it's fueling the growth of organized crime in Mexico to the point where it can challenge state power in large areas of Mexico and create very chaotic and dangerous situations. It's the facto reality along the border. So Mexico's authentic democratic government is now attempting to take away the space that the old order gave to organized crime, but what are its chances of success when organized crime is continually being replenished by these vast amounts of money that are going from the United States into Mexico? They're arresting top-level capos and putting them in jail or killing them, but there's always people waiting in the wing, equally ruthless, who will pick up where the other people left off because there's so much money involved. And so it's like an endless struggle, but as it continues, it's going to erode Mexico's culture. It's going to erode the political conquests of the Mexican people. It could end up in a very chaotic situation, much more than we see today. And there is only one way to stop that, and that is to take the money out of drugs. We saw that with prohibition in the United States for however many years. Prohibition lasted, I think it was 12, 13 years. During the era of prohibition in the United States, there was so much money to be made from selling alcohol that you had these crime organizations that grew very powerful and flourished. And it wasn't possible to bring any kind of end to that kind of crime until prohibition ended. So the same with drugs. Drugs are seen as a social crime. treated as a crime in this country, the consumption of them, not just the selling of them, but the consumption of them. And it's created in this country a huge incarceration rate. But people still use drugs, so that approach, the prohibitive approach, isn't working. Addiction is actually a medical problem, and perhaps, you know, this country needs to recognize that and deal with drug addiction as a medical problem. So, and simultaneously take the profit out of it. That's fueling the chaos that we see in Mexico. That could only get worse because of the volumes of money constantly being pumped into Mexico.
Do you think that some of the Mexican citizens are just so tired of the current state of affairs that the next time there's a presidential election that they might blame the ruling party and go back to PRI rule, thinking maybe, well, sure, they ruled for 7 decades through a corrupt system, but it was never as bad as we're seeing now, so maybe if we go back to that, things will be a little bit better. Is there a chance of that happening?
Well, I imagine. The biggest fear, though, is that the PAN could get corrupted. You know, that would be an awful scenario where you get infiltration by people wanting to influence even the politics of the PAN. You know, there's a huge amount of money, and the amount of money going into Mexico is corrosive. And who knows what the damage it can do over time. As far as the people of Mexico wanting to pre back, I don't really buy that. It's like in Russia, you know, who wants the communists back? You still have a communist party, but it's just a shadow of what it once was, because it doesn't have the power, the ruthless power that it used to have. Now the PRI, its power had been eroding over decades, and it's no longer what it used to be, and I don't know that the Mexican people would ever want that back. I really would find that surprising. So the venue for returning to an old order style of things where the people in power are the controllers of drug trafficking, I don't know which direction it would come from. Maybe the PDR? Again, you know, who the hell is going to be the next candidate for the PAN? And are there, you know, people emerging even in the PAN who've got who've sold out, maybe?
Sure.
It's hard to say, you know. It'll certainly be interesting to give that kind of scrutiny to the candidates who do emerge.
You spoke a little bit about extremist, Islamic extremist. I asked the U.S. ambassador to Mexico at a recent border security conference in El Paso, Mr. Carlos Pascual, if he wanted to weigh in on that comparison between the Mexican cartels who use car bombs and terror tactics and the analogies that people are making to Muslim extremists. And he said, you know, no doubt that these drug traffickers are using these extreme tactics, and it's absolutely horrible, but they don't have any sort of religious ideology that they want to thrust upon non-believers. They don't sacrifice themselves. You know, they don't have suicide bombs and walk into some place and say, you know, Viva Chapo Guzman,
right,
and blow themselves up. Do you want to weigh in on that comparison?
Well, he's correct in that. You know, the drug trafficking isn't an ideology. It's just an agreed activity, period. And they're not going to get a huge following because not a huge portion of any population is going to want to get involved in that kind of criminal activity. So, but, you know, terror is terror, you know. They set off a car bomb, like they did in Juarez, killed some people. It certainly stirs up a lot more fear than before, and these could be much more common and frequent incidents. And also it could be used in an effort to cow the Mexican political system in some way to control it. They're obviously, these guys aren't going to march on Los Pinos and take over, you know, at the point of a gun. This isn't going to work. But they could, through terror, terroristic, planning, strategic planning, attempt to get their way, which is, you know, an arrangement with the government to do what they like to do, which is make money through drug trafficking. So there's no direct comparisons with Islam, but nevertheless, terror is terror, and you know, it's anything that people do that creates fear in other people that makes them easy to manipulate and control.
Do you think the U.S. media, the mainstream media, or the alternative media, whatever you want to call it, is doing a good job reporting on the violence? Or do you think it's become just a formula that we just regurgitate facts that the authorities give us?
Well, that's a tough one. It's hard to get, you know, close to the action anymore. There are some alternate websites that have popped up in Mexico, which do some good reporting. They get, it's done anonymously. I forget the name of this one website, but they acquire photographs and documents that they put on the web. I would say that, you know, the Mexicans are doing a good job of it, but I don't think really the United States media really understands the context of it. They should certainly do a better job on that. In a lot of, you know, it's really amazing. A lot of media still hasn't accepted the thesis that the old order of things, the PRI, was essentially a mafia system. They never really got into understanding that, and they still don't. And that is the whole, and that is so essential to understanding what is happening in Mexico today. And the old order in Mexico gave a huge amount of space to organized crime because there was so much money to be made. And that is it. That's the absolute foundation truth of all of this. And the U.S. media, by and large, doesn't seem to understand that.
There's been allegations that President Felipe Calderon is on one side of this fight against, you know, the other cartel, mainly that he is supporting one way or another the Sinaloa cartel and Chapo Guzman. But it sounds like you don't believe that. That the government has any interest in one side winning over another. They're just fighting organized crime as a whole. Is that correct?
Well, that's my understanding. I've been hearing that same thing for a long time, and it's just one of those rumors that gets picked up and then starts snowballing. Somebody did a statistical analysis and found out that proportionally there were fewer people of the Sinaloa cartel being taken down, but I don't know if that proves anything. They just may be harder to find. But there have been people within the Sinaloa faction, you know, arrested. I really haven't kept up on the names or anything. There's just so many, but I don't buy that. I really don't.
How did you feel when you read that note that said, tell Papa they're going to kill him? Did you know what you were getting into?
Well, frankly, no. I had no... Well, I was warned by Juarez journalists when I first went down there and started working. There were several subjects to stay away from, you know, police corruption among them and political corruption and drug trafficking. So I pretty much defied the convention by publishing that one story about that hotel, and we learned, that of the consequences when the photographer was sent down there, and the death threat against me, I had to take it seriously. But you know, everybody on both sides of the border in the media closed ranks behind my newspaper at that point, and really publicized what had happened, and just created pressure on Mexico City, to do something about it. So they sent in a special task force headed by Commander Calderoni, who's in the book, mm-hmm. who eventually, you know, went on to kill Pablo Costa, who's yep. the drug lord of the book.
Yes, sir.
And you know, it was a position of strength because everybody was getting involved in that and reporting on that. I actually, you know, went down there and filed a criminal complaint against Ontiveros with the Ministerio Público, accompanied by the bodyguard, the mayor's bodyguard. He loaned me his bodyguard for the occasion.
how commonplace you think it is today to bribe U.S. officials. You mentioned the Culberson County Commissioner in the book. I know that was more than two decades ago, but is that still a possibility or an occurrence?
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. I think the biggest problem has to do with the people who are on the bridges, the international bridges. There's always been cases coming up of customs agents or INS agents who have been bought off and were letting loads through the bridges. It's hard to think that that's not still occurring. But it's what's the utility of a county commissioner being, a part of a drug organization? I mean, he doesn't have any power. With Esputo of Culberson County, he just happened to be related by marriage to Pablo Acosta and just got involved in the activity. But as a county commissioner, there wasn't anything he could do to facilitate the activity. However, somebody working the bridges, like a customs agent or an immigration agent, can facilitate the activity if they can be bought off.
Sure.
Because they can then allow vehicles to go through that are full of narcotics.
How long, in your opinion, if you can put a timeline on it before things mellow out? And when I say mellow out, I mean going back to pre-2008 figures in Juarez or pre-2006 murders in Nuevo Laredo, Tamaulipas.
When will the violence go away?
Sure. That's in your opinion. Estimate.
Well, there's no way to estimate that. I mean, it's so full of uncertainties, you know. There's so many possibilities for the future. None of them particularly good, as long as there's $30 billion or more in drug money going into Mexico every year. You know, you could end up with outside players coming in and trying to stir up the pot and making the situation worse. Anybody with a hatred for the United States could see this as a primary target, Mexico, to contribute in some way to its instabilities, to force the United States to have to secure its own border and divert vast resources. There's really concern about that. Hezbollah has set up operations in Mexico. There's no question about that. You can do a Google search, Mexico and Hezbollah, and you can see a lot of things coming up. And if things are coming up on Google, you can sure imagine that off the radar, there's a heck of a lot more going on. So, the chaos in Mexico could get a lot worse than what it is now. And, it's not an impossibility to see a destabilized Mexico. I mean, thoroughly chaotic, with the entire political system in jeopardy. But that's worst case, you know. But it's not impossible. And fueling that, if it does happen, is American drug money. I see two scenarios, that being the most extreme, the other Mexico reverting to what it used to be, which is an out-and-out narco state in which people in power, you know, cash in on the activity and control it by using the levers of power. That's how it used to be done, and that could happen again.